This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day crew, and here's another one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Okay, sugar babes, guys and dolls, and my funny valentines, our next guest loves a bit of a song and dance and is always up for a hot shoe shuffle with a dancing man.
Her dazzling dance steps, superb comic timing, effervescent personality and a stunning voice will take you off into your pure imagination of a fantasy world till you think you are Aladdin or Cinderella.
Mamma Mia is there playing our song Annie Get Your Gun and Lend Me a Tenner, because we're going to head into the woods of Australian performing royalty.
Ads, enough of this tomfoolery. Like we are in Urinetown. Let's show a little respect like you would for a midnight rendezvous. I don't like to count my eggs before it's Easter parade, but I think this will be a great chat.
Stop the world, I want to get off. I'm feeling red hot like I have a fever. We welcome to the Hump Day crew as she sings and swings, Rhonda Birchmore.
Oh my goodness, what an intro. How long did that take you to write? I might have to use that as my new bio.
There you go.
How are you today?
Oh, look, that woke me up. That was just brilliant. I can't remember doing all those things, but I'm sure I have. But all over the last 25 years, yeah, some good memories, some not so.
Now, you have done a lot over the last 25 years, but I believe right now you're filming your first feature film.
I am indeed. It's a movie called Kin, K-I-N, as in next of kin, and it's a romantic comedy, and I was absolutely blown away when I was invited to screen test, and I got the role of Cheryl Winter, who is, for the first time in my life, it's not like a singing, dancing, leggy kind of girl. She's just a very vulnerable, lost and lonely one, so it's a great, yeah, something very different.
Does the story revolve around Cheryl?
She's the mistress. She's never found love in her 20s, 30s and 40s, and now she's kind of looking for it, and has this thing with Steve Bisley, and kind of still doesn't find it. So it's an interesting old thing, but I think that the audiences will feel very sorry for poor Shizza.
And it's an Aussie film, obviously, which is great news for the Australian film industry.
Yeah, it's backed by the Australian Film Festival industry, and it's going to open the Melbourne Film Festival next year. And incredible names, as I said, from Josh. I can't even think of his name. Isn't that good?
It's early.
Isabel Lucas, just wonderful. Adam Zwar, very good people. Josh Lawson,
well done.
Yeah.
And is the feature film something you've wanted to do for a while?
I thought, yeah, you know what, it's one of those things because, and especially in this country, you know, you get pigeonholed and doing, you know, either, you know, as the leggy, you know, redhead or whatever, and I've always wanted to, but, it's usually a special niche that, you know, the casting people only see that certain actors can do that, so when they invited me to screen test, there was no way I thought I would ever get it, and a very different medium of playing too, as you can imagine, from the theatre or, you know, on stage cabaret to, you know, how intimate, and the camera's like only inches from you, and it's kind of, it's a very much more low-key performance. Mm.
Rhonda, what's your preference? Do you prefer stage or do you like the screen?
Well, it's the instant gratification you get in the live stuff on the stage. Mm. And the thing is, you know, you start, for example, yesterday I was up at 5 a.m. And you were dependent on the weather to shoot one scene, and I was like a 13-hour day, and it's a lot of sitting around waiting, and but you know, it's a very, you know, different craft. I kind of love that. I would love to do more, and hopefully, you know, my ideal in a perfect world would be to do like a musical film, something like you know, Moulin Rouge or Bette Midler's The Rose or one of those kind of things would really be the icing on the cake for my old career.
Maybe you need to have a good chat to Baz Luhrmann. He might be able to sort something out for you.
Maybe I'll say, hey, Baz, baby. Look,
Bazzy.
Nicole's busy, I know. She's busy in Nashville. What about the other redhead, you know, with the legs here?
Exactly. Shoot him a message on Facebook. I'm sure he'll sort something out for you.
I'll see what we can do, hey.
With Australia coming out, I know the film industry in Australia has seen a bit of a boost, but they do also get a hammering about the quality and the funding. What's your thoughts on that, Rhonda?
You know, I didn't mind Australia, but I thought it was just the amount of money spent on that and how that one film got all the, everything was sponsored. Your cereal, your milk in the morning, so much funding for that one film. I just wish that they'd have split it around a bit and let some of the little independent people and the young film, people get a bit of that money rather than such a massive whack going into something which in the end for me was nothing really all that special. I think some of the lower budget things are far more exciting.
Looking at your bio and all the different things you've done over your life, performing in London's West End and on Broadway, how does that compare to performing in Australia?
I kind of pinch myself now a bit that you kind of, because I was like 23, 24 when I went off to do my first London show, and also, you know, working on Broadway with some of those big stars you used to see in the black and white movies, I kind of come back here now and go, I'm not as hungry for it to work over there, because I do believe we have, and you've heard it all before, but I think we, you know, there's individual talent over here that is every bit as good as what they have over there. I just think maybe the difference, especially for me on Broadway, was we kind of got this
tall poppy syndrome.
The American girls over there, my goodness, in those Broadway shows, have got so much moxie, as I guess they call it, and just so much confidence in themselves. I mean, but I think we as a city, and you look at some of our stars here, we could stand and be very proud of what we do here over there. I mean, it's that kind of dangle all over the Broadway and the West End, but I'm kind of comfortable to be back here now, depending on the project. I'm not ever going to say that I'd never, go over there again, but...
But it's nice to be in the loving arms of your Australian audience.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, you do... I've been doing quite a few these six-star cruises, which... it's kind of throwing, either on a Japanese ship or some of the American ships, and that is hard work, because you do go out there and they don't know you you go out there and do your stuff, and you really have to work hard to win them over. Whereas the Aussies kind of go, oh, there's Rhonda from Hey, or we saw her on Mamma Mia or something, and it's a little easier, but it certainly knocks you into shape that you have to kind of work hard to get the audience when you're doing those, with international audiences, for sure.
I know I was mentioning this morning to my girlfriend that I was going to be speaking to you, and she got very excited, and she phoned her mum and dad up straight away and said, oh my God, Bish is going to interview Rhonda Birchmore.
Oh, said, how sweet is that?
So one thing they mentioned to me was about your role in Hot Shoe Shuffle. I think the David Atkins wrote a role for you.
Yeah, yeah.
How is that, having a role actually written for you, Rhonda?
It's a bit of a dream come true, isn't it? I mean, well, anyone that knew David, who was 5 foot and me was 6 foot, it was like the Danny DeVito, Arnie Schwarzenegger. People like David, you and myself, you don't see us necessarily playing, Christine in The Phantom of the Opera or one of those kind of typecast roles, because I don't fit the mold, nor did David. So when he kind of wrote it for me, as this dumb comedy with seven gorgeous dancing boys, it was like he uses all the things and the qualities and the talents that we both had, be it tap dancing or comedy or voice, and make a musical. I mean, it's just, it's like, let's put on a show, Judy and Mickey. It's like, it doesn't happen very often, and it was such a success. It was just wonderful, and you, from the start, you have input of the song choices and, let's do this step rather than a lot of those shows. shows that, you know, and brilliant shows, but something like Wicked, for example, that's all set in clay, and when they come out here to do it, you just have to kind of do exactly what was, you know, written in, on the Broadway version or the West End version. It's wonderful having part of the creative process.
And this is probably going to be a tough one, because you've done so many things over the years. Can you think of the most memorable role that you've actually done, or the most fun role that you've actually performed in?
Well, you know, Hot Shoe was kind of groundbreaking for those reasons, you know, that we just talked about. It was unique. Fun, I would say, the first run, and I'm not doing it the second time, mind you, but the first run of Mamma Mia, that was great fun. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Then you have things like that wonderful show Urinetown, where you're working with Jerry Connolly and Shane Bourne and Lisa McCune. That was so much fun. Mm. We were so bad in that. I mean, not bad, but we were so naughty off the stage. I hope we weren't too bad. But so, I mean, I just and you know, as a challenge, even, you know, last year I got to play Mame, and I think I was right age probably to play her last year, and that was a wonderful challenge of a role to do, and beautiful music. So there's so many, I guess it's very hard to kind of pinpoint one.
And then you're obviously in Kin at the moment, so there's this one to
well, who knows, you never know. You wouldn't that be, I mean, that, as I said before, that would be my absolute to do you know, some kind of a musical, you know, a drama or something perhaps.
Awesome.
On a more serious note, someone who you're a big fan of passed away and was very close to all of us in the community as well, Vivian St. James.
Oh, yes, of course. I adored Vivian, yeah. And only looking at some photos that were sent to me recently, and she, a very, very sad loss, and it was just so incredibly quick from the time she was diagnosed. And, I mean, always the most glamorous girl, and Viv, I do remember, I think it was at a Rainbow Awards, and I saw her for the first time in this most exquisite gown, thinking, my goodness, look at that. That is just something else. And then I got in touch with her designer, and I'd see her shows and she'd come and see mine, and we'd swap a few bits and pieces of whether it would be I had a Marlene Dietrich fur coat that she borrowed from some, you know, some show, and then I'd borrow her boa. So a very, very, very sad loss for the industry, and she will, I'm sure, you know, remain in people's hearts for a long, long time, and very, very sad.
And Rhonda, in December 2007, something strange happened to you, is that correct?
You revealed that in your youth you cut off one of your toes on a toilet bowl.
Oh, that was and I think always, you know, that team on there. Yeah, I was, and I do say it on there. I was on coke, dancing to cocaine or something like.
Yes, yeah, you were dancing to cocaine.
You'd be very specific there.
Very specific.
It just came out the wrong way, you know. With do 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 do.
Yeah, of course, Eric Clapton.
And and I'm in the bathroom with my sparring duet partner, and just practicing as you do before you go on stage, and going over a few steps, and did a bit of a fuerte, and the right foot whipped through the porcelain sink and cut my toe off. Yeah, lovely. And she ran out, and truly it was that thing. Is there a doctor in the house? And they all laughed while my toe is being
blood, you know, everywhere,
hanging on by a thread, and then. Yeah, and it is a true story that I was in New England, the area up there in Armidale, and the only person on duty in the hospital was a brain surgeon, which, yes, he sewed my toe back on, so there you go.
And you're still doing the high step still. You can still still cut a rug.
Yeah, very. I think, you know, there comes a time. They're all kind of getting a little less, you know. I do put a few smart moves in occasionally, but not so much anymore.
Another thing I wanted to run by you, Rhonda, is you said that you're inspired by intelligent, generous actors and singers, and you listed people like Judy Garland, Ella Fitzgerald, Audrey Hepburn, Bette Midler, and Tom Hanks. You kind of stuck out a bit like a sore toe then.
Oh, well, I know it sounds a bit dicky, doesn't it, old Tom? But, you know, I just, you know, what I love about Tom is I loved him in Big. I remember that and thinking, oh, what a great... And he looks a bit like, you know, a funny old head there. But I just think what I love about him is how diverse he is playing all those different roles, you know, in Castaway. It does stand out a bit like an old... you're right. But, he's a very talented boy, I think.
You're heading to Melbourne very soon, and you're appearing at the Arts Centre at Hamer Hall on Monday the 22nd. You're doing two shows at very sensible times, 11 a.m. and 1:30 p.m.
Yeah, not so sensible for me, but that's what they gave me. But, yeah, I'm just getting out of bed at that time. No, I'll have to make a special effort. It's hard for a bit of an old showgirl at that time. But morning, it's like a morning melody thing, but it's like 2,000 people, and it's sensible for those people that want to get home before dark and see in the winter, you know. So
you can have a nice bit of Ovaltine in the afternoon. That'd be quite nice.
See, they do. And they, I think they still have a coffee and a cup of tea and a bickie.
Yep.
You know, the girls and boys, or you know, the older folk that come, and it's the wonderful thing about that is that it's very affordable, and also, as I said, it's a sensible time. But you really get good value. I'm there. I think the Police band that I'm there with is some of the most fabulous musicians. There's 40 odd of them, and I'm there with the Wilbur Wilde, who's going to get his saxophone out, so to speak, and build out a few numbers. So that will be very, very fine.
Oh, that's great. And that's Monday 22nd of June, 11 o'clock show, and then you warm down a bit, and then you warm back up for a 1:30 show.
I know. It's crazy because you're on there, and they just clear them out, and then they bring in the new lot, and it's like a half-hour call. But I can guarantee, I think we're doing everything from some stuff from Chicago to Dancing Queen to, virtually big songs from the musicals and musical films. So it should be a wonderful, and it's a beautiful, concert hall to work acoustically. And as I said, the band are sensational. So it's not just, a tired old act getting up there with their, the little click machine or something. It's actually live musicians, and the amount that we've got up there is in these times, quite extraordinary. So it should be fun.
But with the Police band, it's probably not a good idea to do cocaine on that day.
Oh, maybe that's how I'll just get it under the bus. I don't know. It's funny, isn't it?
The song cocaine, obviously.
That's a good thought there. I won't tell that story either. But I just wonder, I must ask, do those the people in the Police band, do they carry a weapon, or do they just...
Are they unarmed?
They're just happy to see you.
They attack you with a cornet or an oboe.
Yeah, or do they have to... What kind of training do they do? Have to do a bit of police? You know, can they arrest one that's in the police band? Or is it like...
I think they can do. I think they're fully trained officers that have a panache and a talent within music, I'm sure.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I won't be too cheeky then.
No.
And also, I'm working with the Army and the Navy later. I'll have all
You have all the services covered under your wings.
That's right.
If you're like a man in uniform, of course.
Depending on, where I'm travelling or what I'm doing, I'll be totally covered.
Yeah, you've got armed escorts.
All the forces.
Something that we like to do on the Hump Day crew is, well, Adam.
Well, we play a game. It's called 101 Questions, Rhonda.
Oh.
We're not going to ask you all 101 questions, but you're going to choose the numbers, and we're going to actually ask you the question that corresponds to that. So pick a number between 1 and 101.
9.
What is the ringtone on your mobile phone?
Oh, I just want to make love to you. I don't want you. It's Etta James doing I Just Want to Make Love to You.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good rendition. That's very good.
You tell a lot by a person's
ringtone.
You
get the vet or something.
No, that's a great ringtone.
Yeah.
Great, isn't it?
Another number between 1 and 101, please.
86.
What makes the world go around?
Love, I guess, is the most obvious. Feeling good about oneself get rid of those mean, nasty people. Yeah, good things, all good things, love and happiness.
Does singing, dancing and acting help the world go round too?
Oh, yeah, that's part of the love and happiness.
That's the happiness side, would, isn't it?
Absolutely. We wouldn't do that if one it didn't make one feel happy.
Give us one last number between 1 and 101, Rhonda.
71.
Can you tie a tie?
Not very well. It kind of got really dicky, like a tiny little bit of a pinhead on a thing. No, I've never been able to. And I could take one off a man. I've done that.
I'm sure that too can be the case.
Yeah. Or strangle someone with one, but I cannot tie one, no.
Rhonda Birchmore, you can sing, you can dance, you can act, but you can't tie a tie. But thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
Absolute pleasure, boys. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Rhonda.
Much love. Thanks, boys.
Cheers. Our pleasure. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts, and thank you for supporting the Hump Day Crew and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.